another old one, "When God Dips His Pen of Love in My Heart." Anybody remember it? A few of you do. That's good. That's good. Here we go.
When God dips His Pen of Love in my heart, and He writes my soul a message He wants me to know, His Spirit all divine fills a sinful soul of mine. When God dips His love in my heart, well, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul how He brought salvation and He made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such love as Jesus did impart.
Well, He made me laugh and He made me cry,
set my sinful soul on fire.
Know that love tonight, aren't you?
Well, sometimes though the way is dreary, dark, and cold, and some unburdened sorrow, well, it keeps me from the goal. I go to God in prayer. I can always find Him there to whisper sweet peace to my soul.
Completely to bring a better day. My life was steeped in sin, but in love He took me in. His blood washed away my every shame.
Well, I said,
tell it to a living soul how He brought salvation and He made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such love as Jesus did impart.
Song, and you know what great love God has for His children.
Amen.
The scripture says, Jesus said Himself, that greater love hath no man than this, than he that would lay his life down for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for you and for me. He gave His life so that we could have eternal life. You see, we got the good end of the deal. Somebody say amen right there. Jesus, He got punishment. We got a crown of life. He got nails in His hands and His feet. We received freedom and healing. Listen to this song.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross He carried bore my burden. The nails that held Him set me free. His life for mine, His life for mine. Suffering brought me healing. He spilled His blood to fill my soul.
Lots of familiar faces, but I also see some new friends, and it's a pleasure to be with each and every one of you. I want to take some time just to introduce the group to you. My name is Jacob Phillips, and this one down here on the end. This is my wonderful wife, Carmen. We have been married for 15 years, and we dated for 5 years before we got married. She's put up with me for 20 long years, and I think she deserves a round of applause for that. Yeah. So that's my wife, Carmen. And this guy right here is my best friend in the whole world. His name is Caleb Banks.
We've never dated or been married.
Praise God for that. So that's Caleb and his wife, Autumn. They've been married for 7 years. Would you make them feel welcome here today? So we are two married couples from right here in Bristol, Tennessee. We're called Phillips and Banks, and I'll go ahead and tell you, I have some connection to this church. I don't know how many of you know this or not, but my grandfather, his name was James Phillips, and everybody called him Dub. I don't know if anybody remembers him or not, and my grandmother's name was Lillian. They attended church here for many years, all the way back in the 60s, and my grandfather actually drove a bus, a school bus, and picked up kids for this church as a part of your bus ministry. And so I do have a connection to this church, and it's just a pleasure and an honor to be here. You all are a pillar of our community, and you do such great things for people and the outreach that you have in this church. So I'm proud to be here tonight. I'll go ahead and say this too. My daughter is here. She's on the third or fourth row back. Her name is Olivia. Now, this is mine and Carmen's daughter. She's going to come right now, if she will. She can put her book down long enough. She's going to come up here and sing for you. She loves to sing. She loves the Lord. And she actually is a great writer, too. She wrote a song. It's on our latest project that's out there on the table. Would y'all like to hear Olivia tonight? All right, here she goes.
Why should I not praise the Lord? Why should I not praise Him? Why should I not praise Him? Why should I not praise the Lord? When I got my loved ones around me, a roof above my head, food on my table, and a warm, cozy bed, God has given me the smile that I can show, and that's why.
In my soul. Shipwrecked inside from a current that refuses to cease. No, it doesn't really matter if I'm worn from the tide, for even then there is peace, sweet peace.
Yes, amen.
Just when the winds are silent and the water is calm, not just when the sun is shining and the clouds are all gone, but I have blessed assurance in the midst of the storm, for there is peace, sweet peace.
Because we sing it. We do sing it a lot. And it's funny. Each time you think, I've heard this song 100 times, but it's like a good hymn. You know, they stick with you. It's those truths. It's like a scripture that gets in your crawl that you just can't get rid of. And I'm glad that the Word of God sticks to us like that. I'm glad that when it's meant for us, which it is, there's a whole big old book of things that I'm learning as I go along. That there's a lot more in there just for me than I didn't realize it was there for me. Have any of y'all ever read through the Old Testament? Nobody? Pin drop? I shouldn't think. Praise God. I didn't think I was alone, the only one reading the Bible in here. If I'm the only one reading the Bible, we're in trouble. Woo! Because I can write all so much on my heart, and then my brain goes, hey, pals. you get a French fry in front of me, I forget my name. But I was this here in the past little bit, Pastor. God's really took us as a ministry on a journey. We wanted to We've all done our own thing through a Bible study or something where the Lord's taken us, but we wanted to do, this year we wanted to start something united, something we can study together and read along together. And it's been incredible. I hate to tell this on myself, but when you know my past, I'll tell you about that. I've never read through the Old Testament. I've heard pieces of it that every time I run across one of those scriptures, I'm like, hey, I know that story. Especially, I mean, you can't forget about a man who God told to go to a certain group of people, and he decides to jump on a ship, and then they throw him off of that ship, and a fish comes by and swallows it. Like, everybody knows the story of Jonah. But I'm talking about, and I shared this the other night, I didn't know anything about these minor prophets, and I told them if you'd have said a minor prophet to me before, I'd have thought it was a job that I got paid very little for, so... But I've been reading through the book of Isaiah, and I've heard message after message. I've seen passage after passage that come from the book of Isaiah. And I'm not all the way through it, but I'm going to tell you this much. When I got on the front end of that, I thought, no wonder nobody preaches in the first few books of it, first few chapters. I'm like, whoo, because that's a wild ride. And I don't know if you're like me, but I just know when God's speaking judgment and he's getting ready to crash down the hammer, as I say, he ain't playing around. It's going to happen. Only because he's been faithful to everything else he's ever said and that I know about him. So why would that not happen? And I keep reading this story and I think, oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine being this group of people. So I'm getting to a point with that. I'm not picking on them by any means. I am that group of people sometimes. But then I read on, and I've got to this chapter that I'm going to go back and read just because it just floored me. It absolutely floored me that God, him being as big and as powerful as he is, and the stories that they had to share with one another, he gets all the way to this generation. I'm around Hezekiah right now, and right before them and Isaiah, they're talking about all these things that's happening. And he's telling the prophets, saying, these are my people. They're wearing my name. This is the children of Israel, and they don't have a clue who I am. And I thought, man, that was me. 14 years ago, Pastor, I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I was taken to church. My parents raised me in church. They did everything that you could possibly do to raise a kid upright. And I got plenty of whoopings. Whoo! Praise the Lord for that. So, but I still had to, it had to be a personal relationship. And then my favorite part, I'm not quoting this like I said, but the way I'm reading through this passage, God says, these people don't know me. But everything that he's laying in order and everything that he's laying out before this people group is so that they will know who he is and know that they belong to him. And I look back at my own life and your story tonight, your testimony, and the times that you may have not have heard one word about who God was, who Jesus is, any of these things, any of the details, but I guarantee you, if you're a child of God tonight, he made himself known to you. And here's what I'm getting at. I don't know who you carried in here with you. 14 years ago, I was a drug addict, an alcoholic, absolute train wreck. And my family, praise God, I still got some of them that pray for me. I don't know if they're convinced that I'm clean now, but I'm just kidding. They stand in the gap for me because now they see where God's taking us. And their faithfulness in prayer. And I believe without those prayers, without the ones who stood in the gap when it seemed hopeless, that I wouldn't be here today. I believe that prayer still changes things just as much as they did 14 years ago, just as much as when the children of Israel called out to the God they started to know and God made himself known to. And I believe the same thing for your family tonight. I don't know who you carried in here. You know how unique it is that we're here on a Sunday night? Most people don't come on a Sunday night. I remember growing up, that was kind of our, well, we could go, we couldn't. But if you're here, I just believe that you've got something you're bringing here saying, Lord, I need to be encouraged. I need I've got these people in my life. I need you to fix them. I can't reach them. And here's what I'm believing, that God, just like he did for me, and makes himself so real on a daily basis, that he's going to do that for my family members who don't know that he is for them, that he wants them to be redeemed and be a part of their family, be a part of his family. So I'm believing the same thing for your family members tonight, that God is still able to move and do what he always said he was going to do from the very beginning. That's redeem us to be a part of his family. I hope that this encouraged you tonight. I didn't really come here to preach, but I can't. You get to talking about Jesus, there's just so much. I want to share this song with you. I'm going to hush. And nobody talk about pals or I'll lose my concentration. This song has become so special to me and to us. But my buddy Jerry's here tonight. It's a very special song to him. I've got a friend, he's got a wife that's not gone. She just got home before we did. And I'm here to promise you this. This is what else I've learned from the Word of God. One, if you've got a loved one tonight that you're missing who's gone on to be with Jesus, I don't like to say that they're lost. I lost it. I didn't lose them. I know where they are, and I miss them. But I promise you this, if you know Jesus and they know Jesus and knew Jesus, then you're going to see each other again. We get to see each other together in heaven in a great homecoming like we've never experienced. But let me give you this second promise that absolutely blows my mind. The Word of God says that not only do I get to see my loved ones who stood in the gap for me, but I get to see the one. I get to see Jesus who came in and he gave everything for me to be a part of his family. He did the same for you, and he'll do the same for our family members. It is more than just a place that's waiting, more than a fantasy or fairy tale. Far beyond our wildest imagination, and as crazy as it sounds, I know it's real. 'Cause when I was just a boy, my daddy told me where grandma and grandpa went to live. And everything he said, I knew I couldn't believe. As I held on to the promise I'd see them again. It may not be tomorrow, it may not be today, but I can see their faces and I can hardly wait to run into their arms, feel their warm embrace. Home is not too far. Got heaven in your heart. I've heard it said that home is where the heart is, and that must be why I feel I don't belong. 'Cause there's an empty place this world could never fill. 'Cause a part of me is already gone. It may not be tomorrow, it may not be today, but I can see their faces and I can hardly wait to run into their arms, feel their warm embrace. Home is not too far. Just as much as I can trust what Daddy said, How much more can I trust the Father's word? It may not be tomorrow, it may not be today, but I can see His face, and I can hardly wait to run into His arms and feel His warm embrace. Home is not too far. No, home is never too far when you've got heaven in your heart.
Let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank you for being here in our presence right now. Lord, I know that there may be people out there. Grief is a real thing. And we all face death at one point or another. Everybody that's ever lived besides Jesus and I guess Elijah that you took up in that cloud of fire have experienced death. And Lord, I just pray that you'll move and work in the hearts and the lives of your people today. Lord, if they're hurting and they're broken, Lord, if they are grieving somebody that they've lost, I pray that you'll wrap your arms around them right now and remind them, Lord, that your promises are true and that there will be a great homecoming day. And what's even more special is that we get to see you face to face, our King, our Redeemer. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful promise and these truths that you've given us tonight. I pray, Lord, as we continue through this service, Lord, that you'll just continue to bless and meet needs and do what only you can do. We love you. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Have y'all enjoyed Phillips and Banks so far? Guys, y'all are doing awesome. They're going to sing some more for us, so they're not finished by any means. I just want to take just an opportunity for you guys to sow into their ministry. So I have been on the road just like these folks. Just when you think everything's going right and everything's going great, I promise you something breaks or something tears up that really sets you back. It's really, really expensive to be on the road doing what these folks are doing. They didn't ask for this. This is just something that I wanted to do and know that you guys want to do as well to take care of these folks who are ministering to you tonight. So the ushers are going to come, and we're going to take up a love offering for them. If you're going to write a check, if you'll write that to Tennessee Avenue Baptist Church, and we'll make sure that everything gets earmarked tonight for them.
Yeah. Hey, Father, I want to thank you for the day you've given us here at church, Father. And just, Father, we just ask that this offering go to further your kingdom, Father, and meet the needs of this group, Father, that they might continue their ministry, Father. And we just can't wait to see the fruits of their labor, Father. And we just ask all these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, you gave the musicians the night off, so we're just going to keep singing. Is that good? All right, here we go. If you don't have the plate in your hand, you can clap with me, okay?
I couldn't stand before a holy God. I couldn't see past my guilty thoughts. My heart was aching, my back was breaking from the weight of all my sins that kept me far from Him. He knew full well the lonely death I'd earned, chose for Himself what I fully deserved. Thank God He took the one possession I could claim. The cross He carried was no longer mine. Praise His holy name, it
took the cross, gave me life, and my life began. What he took from me made me rich like I never been. Instead of spending all my days bearing me for my sins, the cross he carried set me free to follow him.
I'm thankful that he gave his life for me and for you. Praise the Lord.
He always planned to take my place that day before time began. There was just one way.
As he wept in the garden, his heart was wide open.
All the love he felt for me
made him climb to Calvary. He took the cross, gave me life, and my life began. What he took from me like I've never been. Instead of spending all my days bearing me for my sins, the cross he carried set me free to follow him.
Oh, he took the cross.
He took the cross. Gave me life, and my life began.
What he took from me,
what he took from me, made me rich like I've never been. Instead of spending all my days bearing me for my sins, the cross he carried set me free to follow him. Instead of spending all my days bearing me for my sins, the cross he carried set me free to follow him, follow him, follow him.
Oh, he took the cross.
He took the cross, gave me life, and my life began.
What he took from
set me free to follow him. Instead of spending all my days bearing me for my sins, the cross he carried set me free to follow him. Follow him. Follow him.
Yes, amen. Amen. Do we have any bluegrass lovers in the room? Anybody? Any? Okay, several of you. So I like bluegrass pretty good. Do we have anybody here that just is like, you know, bluegrass is just not my thing. I'm just not a real big fan of bluegrass. Anybody willing to admit that? Oh, right here?
Gordon, you don't count. I'm kidding.
You don't. I got one up in the balcony. Says they don't like bluegrass. Any others? Do I have one? Any, okay, sir, right here. This song is just for you.
Here we go.
Oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh, oh.
Crossroads trying to make a deal.
Walk on.
Go straight or left, don't fear the high.
Walk on.
Go straight is the way that leads to the high.
Walk on, brother. Walk on, sister. Walk on, children. You gotta roll with the rock of the ship and sand. Walk on through the valley. Walk on up the mountain. Walk on through the wilderness. If you're ever gonna make it to the promised land, walk on.
Now, the only thing about these bluegrass songs is they've got these long instrumental breaks, okay? So I've gotta have some help from you. Put your hands together. This helps me out.
If you're here from the weight of the world on your back, if you stumble, get up, don't worry about that. Keep your eyes on the narrow road. One day's gonna turn to a straight road.
Walk on, brother. Walk on, sister. Children, you gotta roll with the rock through the ship and sand. Walk on through the valley, walk on up the mountain, walk on through the wilderness. If you're ever gonna make it to the promised land,
we're all walking the same road. down on that heavy load. You better keep on walking or the devil's gonna get you. Walk on, brother. Walk on, sister. Walk on, children. You gotta roll with the rock with the shifting sand. Walk on through the valley. Walk on up the mountain. Walk on through the wilderness if you're ever gonna make it to the promised land. Walk on, brother. Walk on, sister. Walk on, children. You gotta roll with the rock with the shifting sand. Walk on through the valley. Walk on up the mountain. Walk on through the wilderness if you're ever gonna make it to the promised land. Walk on.
Song for you.
Dreaming on the mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Well, the man on the left was a sinner, tied to the cross he bled. He could have been forgiven, but he mocked the Lord instead. Say you are the Son of God. They nailed you to a tree. Come down and save us. If God your Father be. The sinner man, he was sorry for his sin. He asked the Lord's forgiveness. Let me tell you what Jesus said to him. Fear not, this earthly day. Before this day is over, you will be with me in heaven on God's celestial shore.
Sir?
It's over, Gordon.
It's over. Okay. The bluegrass is over. You can breathe a sigh of relief now, okay? I hope y'all have had a good time here tonight. I really do. And I hope more than, praise the Lord. I hope more than anything that you have felt the presence of the Lord, because that's what does the work, isn't it? God's presence is what does the work. I want you to do me a favor. When we go somewhere new, now we've been here before and visited your church, but we've never been as Phillips and Banks, and we've never sung here before, and so we've never been before you and had the opportunity to share our testimonies. As you just heard, Caleb was a drug addict and an alcoholic 14 years ago, and God radically changed his life. I mean, radically changed his life. And so here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to look at the person sitting next to you, and I want you to tell them, say, you're different. Some of y'all having too much fun with that. Hey, we're all different, aren't we? I grew up differently than you did probably, and you were probably raised differently than I was. And I try to share this just about everywhere we go when we go for the first time. I grew up Pentecostal holiness. My dad's a Pentecostal holiness pastor. Whoop, whoop. You know what I'm saying? And people ask me all the time, what was it like growing up in a Pentecostal church? I said, it was fun. Hello?
I said, it was fun. I mean, you know, I never knew what a church bulletin was. We never knew what we was going to do from minute to minute. One minute they'd taken up the offering. The next minute they're swinging from the light fixtures. I mean, you just never knew what was going to happen. And so, you know, I grew up Pentecostal, but my wife, she grew up Presbyterian. We started dating. I was 15 years old. Took her to church with me. I prayed all day long. I said, God, please don't let the Holy Ghost fall tonight. And buddy, we got there and he began to preach. He took the suit, the tie off and threw it against this wall. Y'all ever been in a service like that before? She said, no, I've never been in a service like that before. He takes his coat off, throws it against this wall. I thought, Lord, Dad, my girlfriend's here. Don't take off any more clothes. And so we're different. She finally looks over at me and goes, is he all right? I said, yeah, he's fine. We're different. We all grew up differently. I grew up Pentecostal. My wife grew up Presbyterian. Autumn grew up Southern Baptist. Very good, very good. And Caleb's a mutt. He doesn't know what he is. So, you know, we're all different. Not only are we different in the way that we grew up and the way that we were raised, but we're different in our testimonies. You see, I was never a drug addict or an alcoholic, and I'm going to get to the point real quick here. I thought I was doing really, really well because I went to church all the time, and I had the baptismal certificate, and I'd said all the right things and tried to do all the right things. But you see, we're all different in that we don't all have the same story of grace and what God has done in our lives, but we're all the same. At the end of the day, we're all the same. When you look yourself in the mirror at night, you know as well as I do that you need Jesus. No matter how much morally good you are, no matter how many right decisions you make, the Bible says that you were born into iniquity. In other words, when you were born from your mother's womb, you had sin on your life, sin on your heart, and that needed to be forgiven by the grace of Almighty God. You see, Caleb was a drug addict and an alcoholic. I've never done drugs. I was afraid of my dad. Trust me, he would have murdered me if I'd have done something like that. And so I had a good, healthy fear of him, and I think that helped me stay out of trouble. But here's my point. My point is this. It didn't matter how morally superior I thought I was. You with me? It didn't matter how morally superior I thought I was. You remember in the Gospels, the only people that Jesus ever had problems with were never drug addicts or alcoholics or prostitutes or tax collectors or sinners. Jesus always had a problem with the religious leaders. And it wasn't until this Pharisee found out that he needed Christ and his blood and his grace applied to my life the same as everybody else does. It was then and only then that I was changed forever. You see, the blood of Jesus will transform your life. It's not about how good you think you are. It's not about how perfect that you can be in the eyes of men. But it's about how justified you are by the blood of Christ applied to your life. You see, I had mixed up religious activity. Hang with me for just a moment. Say amen if you're with me. I had mixed up religious activity with a relationship with God. And let me tell you something real clear as day. There is a difference. There's a big difference. And if all you got's religion, then you've missed the whole thing. Jesus came so that he could have an intimate, genuine relationship with you. Let me ask you something. If Jesus came to have a relationship with you, if your wife, you and your wife, men, you've got a relationship with your wife, what would happen if you went 2 weeks and never talked to her? Probably wouldn't have a very good relationship, would you? That's what it means to have a relationship with God. That's what he wants from you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear from you.
He wants to commune with you. He wants to fellowship with you. Why? I have no idea why he wants to do those things with me. He loves me, and I'm his child, and I have favor on my life because he loves me. His grace is so amazing. His grace is unmatched, unparalleled. So whether you're a drug addict, whether you're a Pharisee, you need Jesus. And we travel all over the place telling people that very thing. Whether you walked in here tonight an addict, or whether you walked in here tonight a preacher's kid, you need the Lord. Caleb Banks was a drastically different person 14 years ago, but that's what the grace of God does. He changes people. He transforms people. You see, I think we've got it all wrong in the church. We think sometimes I feel like we act as if God is done. He's done. It doesn't really do anything anymore. We just come and we sit in our pew and then we go home. I'm telling you, I serve an active God. I serve a living, active God who wants to be active in your life and in the life of your family members. You see, we've come to bring you hope tonight. There is hope in Jesus Christ. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how far you've strayed, no matter how many family members that you feel like, y'all got family members that you feel like, man, they're just never gonna get it. They're just never gonna get it. I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and I've witnessed and I've witnessed and I've witnessed. And you know what God's message is to you tonight? Do not give up on them. Because if you give up on those people in your life that need the Lord, then you may be missing out on seeing a Caleb Banks happen in your life. Aren't you glad that Caleb's family never gave up on him? Aren't you glad that Caleb's friends never gave up on him? I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that there were people of prayer that would get on their face before God and beg him to do something in their kid's life. Beg him to do something in their grandchild's life. I'm looking for some mamas and some papas. I'm looking for some aunts and uncles and mamas and daddies who believe and have a real, genuine relationship with God that would find themselves on their face before God asking him to do for them what they cannot do for themselves. And asking that for their family as well. How many of you know you can't change nobody? That's a double negative, and I get in trouble in school. But you can't change anybody. But Jesus can. So tonight, I know we didn't get to have revival, and that's sad, and that's unfortunate. I wanted to meet this evangelist so bad. I wanted to hear him speak so badly. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We can have revival in one night, can't we? And if it sparks something in you, that you go home and you begin to pray like you've never prayed before, and you begin to witness like you've never witnessed before, and you go home outside of these four walls and you begin to tell anybody and everybody, man, I remember when I first got saved, for real, I'd be walking down the street, I was witnessing to dogs and cats and everybody. I mean, just anybody that would listen, I was telling them about Jesus. And man, if you can go home and have that same fire about you, there's a lot of people in Bristol. We don't have to go very far to find a lost person, do we? There's a lot of people in Bristol that need to hear the truth of the gospel, and you come in contact with them every day. So I challenge you tonight. Take yourself back to the moment where you gave your life to Jesus. Remember what he's done for you. Remember how he stripped away that sin and that shame and how he replaced it with grace. Oh. And mercy and love. This next song is our testimony song. We're gonna be just about finished. Somebody say amen. Don't you do it. We're gonna be just about finished. But this is our testimony song as a group. I want you to listen to the whole thing, of course. But the second verse, as Caleb sings, man, I'm telling you, it's his testimony. It talks about, I once was blind and now I see. Basically, I was bound and now I'm free. The guilt and the sin and the shame is now all covered by the grace of Almighty God. Aren't you glad that our guilt's covered by His grace? Amen? Amen.
Memory just where my soul has been. They want to condemn me as guilty again. But Jesus, my Savior, He pleaded my case. Oh, and praise God, my guilt, it's been covered by grace.
All of my guilt was covered by grace. High on a hill, my sin.
Who's redeemed, unworthy, made worthy, unwashed, now made clean. For shame has all vanished without a trace. Praise God, my
you to stand to your feet all over the building if you can and you will. Just stand to your feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. As I said before, I hope you've had a great time tonight. More than anything, I hope that you felt the presence of the Lord. Look, the gospel's been presented. I pray that if you need to speak to the Lord about something, it could be anything. Maybe you're like me, and for the first time you've realized your need for Jesus. Hey, the Lord was calling me to be saved, and I was so scared because I was the pastor's kid,
And I kept thinking, Lord, if I go forward and pray, I'd already claimed salvation when I was 7 years old. And I thought, if I go forward and pray, everybody's going to think I'm a dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten sinner. And finally, the Lord spoke to me and said, Jacob, you are without me. You need me in your life. Nothing's ever going to change in your life. You're never going to not feel miserable unless you have me. So maybe you need to be saved. Maybe like this morning we were in North Carolina and there's a woman come forward and said, I just need to recommit my life to Jesus. I've strayed far from the Lord and I need to recommit my life to Him. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've got family members that need the Lord and you've been encouraged tonight. Hey, if He can do it for Phillips and Banks, He can do it for me. He can do it for my children. He can do it for my nephews and nieces and for my grandchildren. And if He can do it for us, He can do it for you. So I'm not going to belabor this anymore. If you want to come and pray, we're going to sing an old hymn, I reckon. And the altar is going to be open. Why don't you just step out of your pew and come right now? You know where revival begins? It begins at the altar. It begins on our knees. It begins in our hearts. So I pray, if you need to come, why don't you just step out of that pew, make your way down to an old-fashioned altar, and ask God to do something special in your life. Right now, it's open. Won't you just come right now? Don't wait. Just come.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
With your heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here tonight and you say, Jacob, I do have a need that I'd like you to be praying about. For whatever reason, you didn't make it down to the altar, but you say, I have a real God-sized need in my life. Could be for you or your family or anybody else. If that's you, would you just lift your hand? I'll say, God bless you, and put your hand right back down. God bless you and you and you and you, you and you, all over the room, all over the room, all over the room. While your eyes are closed, I want to remind you of something. The first verse of that song, it says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. And then it says this, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I'd encourage you, whatever you lifted your hand about, take it to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lift you up. But He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up each one that's here tonight. I pray, God, that You'll minister. Continue to wrap Your arms around them, Lord. Let them know that they're not forgotten about. They're seen. They're cared for by You, Lord. You see exactly where they are. Father, I pray that if there's someone here under the sound of my voice that does not know You as personal Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, they won't leave this place, but they'll find one of us. They'll talk to us. They'll give their life to Jesus. Father, I pray that You'll move and work as only You can, as You continue just to love on and be there for and touch and meet needs here in this congregation. We love You. We thank You. We praise You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Won't you be seated for just a moment? Then we're going to turn it back over. But before we do that, real quickly, we have a table out in the lobby, and Caleb is going to come, and he's going to tell you what's on it and all that we have available for you tonight.
Yeah, there's